First, about 93.3 million U.S. adults live with obesity, according to recent data from the Centers for Disease Control. That comes with a price in terms of health risks and medical costs, and it takes an emotional toll, too. Our next guest joins to share his personal story of obesity. Tommy Tomlinson is the host of the Southbound podcast and author of the new book, The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America. He joins us from the studios of WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tommy, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Well, good. Now, you write early on in your book, Tommy, you write, "I weigh 460 pounds. These are the hardest words I've ever had to write." Why is this hard to talk about and to write about?
Well, in the specifics for me, that was a secret I never told anyone. My family didn't know. My wife didn't know. Nobody knew that number but me. And so to put it in concrete and to write it down was like almost like confessing the crime for me. But I think beyond that, the bigger picture is it's hard for anybody who's seriously overweight to talk about their problem. It's a problem that everybody sees. You know, externally, our addiction is different than others in that anybody can see what our problem is. But it's a very difficult thing to talk about because I think a lot of people think it can be battled by simply eating less and exercising. And there are a lot more factors that go into it. And that's what makes it difficult.
I want to talk about one of those factors in particular, the idea that, I mean, a lot of us, obese or not, think of the idea of comfort food. We turn to food for solace in a stressful situation. In the case of someone like you dealing with obesity, that obesity can cause that stress and that difficulty leading you to eat the foods that are comfortable, and it's a vicious circle in some ways, right?
Right, and it catches you on both ends. When you've had a really good day or you want to celebrate, the way many people celebrate is by having a good meal. And that's what you do with friends, that sort of fellowship and camaraderie. But then on the other end, as you mentioned, when you've had a bad day, that's the kind of time when people tend to, you know, go in the freezer at night and get out the ice cream and just, you know, eat it right out of the carton. And it does. It creates this cycle where, you know, the worse you feel, the worse you eat, and that makes you feel worse, and that makes you eat worse. And so it really does kind of create this feedback loop that for many of us can be really hard to get out of.
And you mentioned this is, unlike a lot of problems people might deal with, this is something, obesity is something that everybody else can see. Do you feel, I guess, like a moral or ethical judgment coming from people?
Not as much as it happened like when I was a kid. But certainly I still do feel that. I hear a remark every once in a while on the street or something. When I was a columnist at the Charlotte Observer, which I was for about 15 years, people would write in if they were upset with something I wrote. Some of them would have constructive criticism or whatever I wrote about. Other people would write in and say, you know, you can't control this one big thing in your life. How dare you judge somebody else? And so they would use my weight as sort of leverage to sort of criticize me without actually engaging with what I was saying at the moment. So, yeah, I've heard it in one way or the other, this sort of moral judgment off and on my whole life.
Talking to Tommy Tomlinson about his new book, The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America. You give us some insight right off the bat in the book about kind of how you have to case a room in some ways to deal with it, to make sure you'll have a place to sit. Can you talk us through some of the things you're observing and figuring out on a daily basis?
I think about it like Tony Soprano, you know, trying to go into a room and figuring out where the danger spots are. For me, it's something like if there's a booth and the table is fixed, like it doesn't move back and forth, then the booth is often hard for a guy like me to squeeze into. If there's a counter, like a bar or a counter or something, the bar stools, if they're bolted to the floor, it's hard for me to adjust for me and to get in there. Tables are best, but even then, tables can be fraught, too, if the chairs are rickety or if the arms are really narrow. And so a big part of my kind of daily life when I'm going to an unfamiliar place is scouting it out. And often I describe a scene in the book where I'm having breakfast with a friend. I will look it up the night before on Google and sort of scout the interior to try to find a comfortable place.
Can you talk? You mentioned being a kid and already dealing with issues of being overweight. Can you talk about some of your story of your childhood?
Sure. I grew up in a big Southern family, very traditional. We ate, you know, all the stuff that you think about with Southern food, a lot of fried chicken, a lot of cornbread and biscuits and pecan pie and all that sort of thing. But something that happened in our family is certainly not unique to the South. I think it's happened in many families, and is one reason America has gotten so much bigger is that there was a cultural shift from blue-collar work to white-collar work. My mom and dad worked in cotton fields when they were teenagers and even younger. By the time I came around, they were working basically factory jobs. But everybody through their generation in my family worked with their backs in their hands. They worked very, very hard so that I didn't have to. And so by the time I came along, I was able to go to college, find journalism, which is basically a desk job for my whole life. But that whole time we were eating those same big Southern meals. My mom and dad and the people of their generation used those meals for fuel because they were going to go to work that day and burn them all off. I didn't get to burn all the meals off. And so while they stayed the same size, I got bigger.
And at the same time that was changing to the sedentary lifestyle, you mentioned that we've really gotten to the situation where that kind of food isn't just available when the family cooks it. We have access to that fatty, salty, high-calorie food every block or two.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a city or even in a small town, you can't go more than a couple of blocks without running into fast food, junk food, convenience store, drive-through, a pizza joint, something like that. Most of these foods are terrible for you, and they're also extremely tasty and addictive. And so, you know, McDonald's has spent literally billions of dollars making their food taste so good that you keep coming back. And so if faced against those obstacles, it's very difficult for people who have a propensity to overeat to stop from that, because everywhere you turn, it's there. You know, the movie theater nearest to our house, the one that we go to the most often, if you order a small Coke, it's 32 ounces. You know, a small bottle of Coke back in when I was a kid was like 6.5 ounces. So now it's basically a small drink is 5 times bigger than it used to be. And that's one big reason that most of us have gotten bigger as well.
And you have recently tried to lose weight, but this isn't the first time. Your first diet plan, you write, was as an 11-year-old, pills, a prescription from a doctor. Can you talk about those first efforts?
Sure. My mom took me to a diet doctor when I was 11, 12 years old. He gave me what I know now are basically amphetamines, which actually gave me much more stamina playing basketball all day, but did not seem to do much for my appetite. I still had a big appetite. Later on, I tried these, you know, there were like diet candies. I remember the first time carbohydrates were considered bad for you, and then several cycles after that where they were considered good for you. And so pretty much every big diet of the last 30 or 40 years you can name, I've tried it. And what I've learned over the years is that if you have 10 pounds to lose, you could probably try one of those diets and it'll work. But if you have 200 pounds to lose, the how is never enough. You have to start talking about the why you got that big in the first place. And that's a big part of what my book is about.
We're talking to Tommy Tomlinson. His new book is a memoir about obesity. It's called The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story too? Have you dealt with being overweight or obese? What has it meant for your life, for your health? How about the emotional toll? And you have a question for our guest about his own experience. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Tommy Tomlinson, author of the book, The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you overweight or obese? Have you tried to work to lose weight? What do you see when you go out in public? What do you hear from people? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tommy, before we go to our callers, throughout the book, you talk about basically a year's worth of efforts to try to lose weight and stay, keep that weight off. Can you talk about what that experience has been like and what you've done?
Well, I've tried many, many things, you know, Overeaters Anonymous, Weight Watchers, many, many different types of diets. I decided that for me, most of those are designed and work best in the short term. Lots of people want to lose weight really fast. And it's not, you know, as my doctor says, 91% of the people who lose weight on crash diets or any sort of quick program gain it all back. And so what I've set out to do is to lose weight very slowly. I just do kind of a calories in, calories out, count every day. If, as long as I burn more than I eat, I consider that a win. And over the last few years, I have managed to lose weight slowly and steadily and sort of fooled my body into not knowing that I'm actually on a diet plan, because your body wants to peg you back at whatever your highest weight was, because as you lose weight, it thinks you're starving. And so it slows down your metabolism often to try to push you back toward what you were. So even sometimes our own bodies are fighting against us when we try to lose weight.
Let's go to our callers now. Deborah is with us in Brown Deer. Hello.
Hi, Rob and Tommy. I have a friend who is just an exceptional human being. She's beautiful. She's just gone above and beyond the call of duty of helping my sister. And I want to know, how do I or anybody else help her to lose weight? She's very overweight. And I know she'd be happier I'm thinner. I just know it. And I wonder, how do I do that? Because she's so exceptional, I want her to be happy. And what's the best way to help somebody? I don't want to offend her. So how would I help her?
So can a well-meaning friend help out, Tommy?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. First of all, understand that she is maybe just as baffled by her inability to lose weight as you are. I'm 55 now, and it really did take me 50 years or more to figure out why I had gained so much weight in the first place, or at the very least to start figuring it out. So there are issues in her life, you know, things that maybe are from her childhood or just other things that she hasn't been able to solve that cause her to lose weight. And I mean, it caused her to gain weight. And I see this all the time in the person you described. They're very successful, happy, kind, loving in the rest of their lives, but they have this one thing that's a puzzle to them that they've never been able to solve. That's very common. I always felt that way. I had a lovely wife, still do, a great family, a great career, but this was this one hurdle I couldn't get over. So I would say, as somebody who's been on the receiving end of this advice, is that you start with love, and you start by talking about other things. That person doesn't want to talk about their weight all the time. So talk about it in the context of other conversations about other things. And then say, don't take them, here's the latest diet I saw in the paper, or here's this book I read, or whatever. Just say, you know, talk to them about themselves and the hurdles they see in their lives, the issues they see in their lives, because that, to me, more than the how, that why, figuring out why they may have gained so much weight in the first place, that's the key. And if you can help them understand themselves a little better by being a good friend, then that starts them on the path to figuring out the how. Once you figure out the why, the how is not nearly as difficult.
Thanks for the call. Going out to Jerry in the Green Bay area. Jerry, hello.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about Jerry?
Great program, guys. I just totally agree with your guest today. The why, very important, but I'm 55 years old currently now. I used to be a bodybuilder, powerlifter, competitively doing that. And I've worked out this whole time since high school. And I have found out that looking at a lot of people and just kind of studying people, that diet is so important. You know, working out is pretty important. I mean, it gets your metabolism going and everything, but I would have to say diet is about 90%. What you eat and how you eat it is so important to keeping that weight off, especially as we get older. It just gets harder. And I'm just kind of a little, I guess you would say, pissed off or mad at you know, our professionals today that really don't stress that. You know, it's a hard thing to do because food, you know, food is our thing that we love to do. You know, we love to eat, but it's so important. You know, we go to college and we make all this money because of, you know, how we study and everything, but we forget about our bodies. And I think it's probably just as important because as we get older, it becomes very hard, you know, on us and everybody I run into that has bad health that, wow,
Jerry, I'm going to jump in, Jerry. Thanks a lot for the call. Tommy, your thoughts on what Jerry had to say?
Well, I think he's exactly right about exercise versus diet. You know, many, many studies have shown this, that exercise will help you live longer. It will make you feel better. It will brighten your mood. It will do a lot of things for you. The one thing it is not really good at is helping you lose weight, which seems counterintuitive, but I'll give a quick example. You would have to walk about 2.5 miles. The average person would have to walk about 2.5 miles to burn off one Snickers bar. So, you know, if you think about an average big meal, you know, like a Friday night fish fry or something like that, to burn off that meal, you'd have to walk halfway across the country or something. And so diet is the key. And that's hard for a lot of people who spend a lot of the time at the gym to get past, but it is, that's the truth. And in fact, many studies have shown that people who don't exercise lose weight just as fast or sometimes faster as people who do. The other part of it that he talked about that I think is really important is that idea of food being sort of this celebratory thing, this family thing. In many ways, food is our last acceptable vice. You know, you get looked down on if you smoke, you get looked down on if you drink too much, you look down for many other habits that 30 or 40 years ago would have been considered perfectly acceptable. But a big meal is not only considered acceptable, it's encouraged. And in many families, including mine, it carried this great symbolic weight with it, and that it was a gift that your family was giving you. And to not indulge in that gift fully and sometimes overindulge in it was considered, you know, in some ways kind of a rejection of the gift. And so those are very difficult emotional waters to navigate for most of us.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Tommy Tomlinson. His new book is The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America. In the book, Tommy, you talked about some fear of losing weight, some sense that, okay, maybe the weight is part of your identity and you're going to lose a part of yourself. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I know it sounds weird, but I've never been anything but overweight. So I don't know any other version of myself. And I do have some worries that, you know, the person I have to become to lose this weight will not be as likable or enjoyable to be around as the person I am now. Because I don't mean to brag about this, but I do think people generally like me and like being around me. So I worry about becoming a different person. But I have to say, at some level, that doesn't matter so much, because if I continue to be the same person I was at the beginning of the book, I wasn't going to be around much longer to find out what kind of person I would become. I was, as you said, I was 460 pounds at the beginning of the book, and I was 50 years old. And as I wrote in the book, guys like me don't make it to 60 without changing. And so, you know, regardless of who I turn out to be, I would rather be that than not be here. And so it's been a ongoing experiment as I've lost weight to kind of do a little personality check. So far, I like the person I'm becoming. My wife says I'm more lighthearted now. That's not the only part that's lighter, but it's the important part.
I want to get into your life apart from being overweight, because that's an important part of what you write about. People might look at you and see the one thing, but you say, apart from this one thing, you're pretty happy. You've got a good career. You're married to a woman with family from Wisconsin. That's a good thing. There's a lot of happy parts of your life, too. You're not just this one thing.
Yeah, my wife, Alex Felsing, is from Manitowoc, and she still has lots of family in Racine, Kenosha, that area. So hello to everybody there. I have always had these sort of two lives. The life where I've had a successful career as a journalist, I've had loving family, a great wife, good friends, all those sorts of things. And then this other life as this sort of miserable fat person where I could just not figure out how to reconcile those two people. And as you'll see if you read the book, I start figuring out why that big person got to be that way and started to sort of unlock some of those things. And it helped, you know, in some ways make those two people one person. And that has been a huge key to me moving forward.
In our last few moments, Tommy, this is something, obesity, that everybody's going through in some ways alone, but millions of people are doing this in this country. Are you hoping that just by talking about it, you're going to help people sort of confront and tackle these issues a little more head on?
Yes, I think that many of us, I know I certainly felt like I wanted to and needed to tackle this stuff alone, that nobody would understand the cobwebs in my head or whatever. But you're right, as you walk around and you see other overweight people, yeah, there's a lot of people thinking those same things and feeling those same things. And I think the more that we can talk about it and find some common ground and realize it's not just us, it's not just this craziness in our head, it's the kind of thing that goes through many people's heads, and in fact goes through many people's heads who aren't overweight but are dealing with something else. We all have something, and I think that the more that we could talk about what that something is, the more we'll find that the patterns are a lot more common than we thought.
Tommy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate it.
That's Tommy Tomlinson, host of the Southbound podcast. He joined us from the studios of WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been talking about his memoir. It's called The Elephant in the Room, One Fat Man's Quest to Get Smaller in a Growing America.